What is up, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Knee on Belly Podcast. We are your hosts, Nate
and John.
And no Brandon, because why, John?
He has the Kimura flu.
He has the Kimura flu today, so no Brandon. But John, today, me and you are going to tag team this thing, and we are going to recap last night's UFC fight night, which was main evented by Ty Tuivasa and Marcin Tybura. Tough one there for Ty. We'll talk about it, but good win for Tybura. A couple other headlines to get through from that card, including the controversial Christian Rodriguez decision win.
And a Lonely Heart Boy Dub.
A Lonely Heart Boy Dub, that's right. Then we will get you guys set up with our picks and predictions for this Saturday's UFC Fight Night main event, Rose Namajunas versus Amanda Ribas. And finally, as always, all the news and happenings in and around the world of mixed martial arts from this past week and more. But first, John, how are we doing? Episode 175 of the Neon Belly Podcast, or some dirty swindlers are calling it, the number of years since President Polk became the first sitting president to have his picture taken episode of the Neon Belly Podcast.
Underrated president, for sure.
But also the same 175 years since President Taylor was elected. So Polk got his picture taken in February. A couple months later, he was outie. President Taylor.
5,000.
Those middle presidents had to have sucked. I mean, there's just nothing good to talk about.
I mean, there's
those.
Not even anything historic. Like, when people talk about them, I mean, you know, we had, when we went to school, we had to, you know, memorize the presidents and stuff. And it's like, man, there's a reason we gloss over them first, like, 18.
President Polk, like, started Minnesota, but does anybody really care? No. You know, like, I mean, he bought the territory, like, when they founded it or something like that. But, I mean, it's Minnesota, right?
Minnesota could have just been Illinois.
It may as well be Canada.
Yeah, like, definitely.
It should just be Canadian.
I mean, Mall of America, sure, but outside of that, and Prince, I'll give him Prince.
Yeah, there you go.
They get Prince.
That's so. Right. Cool hockey jerseys.
Yeah,
come from Minnesota.
That's true. I'll give him the Wild, one. Baby.
Yeah, but I'm a Purdue fan, so I hate the Gophers. And just a dumb name all around. Anyway,
is Brock Lesnar from Minnesota, or is that just where he went to school?
He went to school to Minnesota. I think he's from, like, North Dakota or South Dakota.
Oh, okay. I have to say, that's probably the best thing come out of there outside of Prince.
I don't know. Not really. So that's what I was going to say. We don't have as much to get to. So just a little housekeeping. And I hate when we have to do this on some episodes, but it does happen. And genuinely, Brandon is really, really sick.
Yeah.
And called a couple hours ago and said he just was not going to be able to make it today. Well, he was willing to make it, and I told him, let's not do that, because he's having some pretty nasty symptoms.
I don't need the elbow flare-up from the Kimura flu.
Yeah, and we don't need the Kimura flu around here. If this is your first episode listening to us, first off, welcome. Thank you for choosing. Mm-hmm. You made an amazing choice.
Yeah, you're the best.
Yeah, you made an amazing choice today. I designed... So the whole point of today is that I was going to lead with is we're going to do our first ever YouTube exclusive game, right? Mm-hmm. So we're kind of between two fight nights here, which, especially being not the greatest fight nights in terms of depth and things to talk about, we would typically play a game or do some type of challenge on the episode. That's usually what we do.
A segment, something different.
However, we're wanting to try to do more YouTube exclusive content. So being three guys that have full-time jobs, lives, Brandon's got a kid, we only get one day to really dedicate to this podcast a week to record everything. So was going to kind of keep the episode a little lighter, so after the episode we could stop and then record the game. Obviously that's not gonna be the plan now, so the episode was designed to be a little bit lighter, unfortunately, and now it's gonna be even less light, or even more lighter, without Brandon adding, you know, a third input. So not sure how long it'll be, but again, don't judge us off of this one. We usually get a lot more in-depth, but the goal wasn't to get in-depth. It was to give you a little bit extra content. But can confirm, the goal is to still, hopefully midweek, give Brandon some time to get feeling better. Then I think midweek we're going to try to record the video. So still planning on getting the video up. Might be mid to late week before it comes out. It's going to be a fun one. So what we're going to do is I'm going to show you and Brandon some finishes. So it's just going to be a picture.
Still picture. Okay.
Yeah, of a finish. But I have hidden the fighter who did the finish.
Their whole body.
I've hidden his identity, his or her identity. And, well, it's his. We're doing one weight class, one finish from every weight class. And you guys are going to go head to head and try to guess who the finisher is. Some really easy ones. Keith Jardine. Yeah, not Keith Jardine. Didn't make the cut this time. Some really tough ones and then some really easy ones. So I'm interested to see how this goes. So make sure you're looking for that midweek. Mm-hmm. It should be a pretty fun video. And then, yeah, I think as far as like housekeeping stuff, that's about it.
Yeah, I mean, if this is a light episode, if you go back to our, you know, recap of 299, almost went 2 hours, you know. So it's going to be a mix like that. There's going to be a lot of storylines certain weeks, and other weeks it's going to be a little bit light, but, you know, 300 is on the way. So just buckle in.
It literally sucks that this week was set to be a lighter episode to get, so we could have time to record. And then, Brandon, unfortunately, getting sick there. But just bear with us. Like I said, I don't want to
take them Flintstone vitamins, you know?
You do have to take your Flintstones. So with all that, John, rate, sub, follow. Let the people know what we need them to do each and every week of their lives.
All right. Well, wherever you're listening, whether that's Apple Podcasts or Spotify or any other place, if they offer a chance to give us a review or a rating, it really helps us out a lot. I know on Spotify, you can give 5 stars. On Apple Podcasts, you can give 5 stars and a written review. Those help push us up into people's algorithms. We love to read them on here. We just use that as another chance of interacting on social media. That's Instagram, TikTok until they take it out, and YouTube. It's Neon Belly Podcast. We're on X on Neon Belly Pod. And like Nathan had said, we're going to be doing a lot of YouTube exclusive stuff that we're working towards. We're putting our picks videos on there, those type of things.
Yeah.
So our picks from the fights coming up will be on there. So definitely go on there, check us out, show us some love.
Absolutely. And as John said there, we will be putting up a picks video for our Rose He-Boss picks. Even if you listen to the pod, man, if you could just go in, watch the video, give it some watch time, click the thumbs up, all that stuff that I guess...
Send it to your friend.
It's pretty important. Yeah, send it to somebody that you think may want to watch it, if nothing else.
Big Thug Rose fans
the support, Yeah, the support is everything. With that, though, John, let's get to this past Saturday's UFC Fight Night, as I said, and let's just jump right into the main event as Marcin Tybura defeats Tai Tuivasa via first round rear naked choke. And man, as I said, big win here for Tybura. Tai landed a big elbow early in that fight and opened Tybura up. But ultimately, what we all feared for Tuivasa became a reality, because once Tybura got him down, there was no getting up for Bam Bam. Yeah. And I feel like Tai just kind of lost himself on the feet a bit, honestly, because once that elbow landed and he kind of saw blood, I thought he got real sloppy. And he was having, you know, kind of what we talked about last week. I thought his athleticism, his speed a little bit, the leg kicks were kind of landing there a little bit. He just seemed the more technical, sharper guy. And then it's like once he saw blood, he just started like going for it. And I think that kind of made the takedown a little easier for Tybura to get to, if I'm being honest. But then I think the biggest story to me for this, and it's one of those things where you don't want to take away from the win from Tybura, but we've ad nauseum talked about it if you listen to this podcast. But at this level of mixed martial arts, you have to have a ground game. You have to develop at least fundamentals, something, yes, to be able to get back to your feet. And even in the last fight with Tuivasa, I had said with Volkov, he showed some abilities to get up from this exact same position. I don't know what happened, but to me, he just seemed completely lost here on the ground made some extremely fundamental mistakes that ultimately led to the finish. And again, guys, like, you know, I'm a purple belt. John's a blue belt. Brandon's a blue belt. All three of us could tell you.
Brandon's a purple, isn't he?
Or yeah, he is a purple. My bad. Whew, sorry.
There's a couple stripes when you don't show up, you know?
Yeah, you do. But speaking of stripes, like, you could literally be a two-stripe, not even a two, man. You do, like, 6 months of jiu-jitsu, and you will learn from that bottom half guard how to get an underhook. You never turn away from the guy first off, because it's almost impossible to get up from that. Like, Ty was, like, trying to turn away.
Especially a heavyweight.
It's just impossible, man. And then even if you do get away, you're literally giving your back up. And because you're in half guard, they pretty much at that point already have a hook in as well.
Mm-hmm.
It is just fundamental, like, 101 jiu-jitsu. And Ty just seemed completely lost, man. Even when Tabira got to the back, just had no idea how to get to break the body lock, get the hooks, try to reestablish any type of anything.
Yeah, I think the body lock was a big key on controlling that. Because, I mean, there's, you know, sometimes we see guys kind of turn their way out of it if it's just kind of on the chin a little bit, especially at heavyweight. It's easier to make yourself a bigger, harder target to squeeze on. But, yeah, man, I don't know if some of it might also be being tired from trying to go for the finish. And
I don't know, man. I just think even if the ground is lava for you in a fight, right? Like, it's okay if somebody's just a better grappler than you and it's like, well, I don't want to end up here. That's fine if that's your game plan. But, like, this and to be fair, like, I feel like these kind of guys like Ty are just kind of phase themselves out anyways in the sport because of where the sport is heading. But, like, to be literally, like, if your back hits the ground, this fight is over. Like, Rosen, you know, like, there's just so many examples of that. And it's just, like, you just can't, it can't be that. Yeah. Man. Like, you've got to have.
Not now.
No. And even
2000, maybe.
Right. And even defending a takedown isn't even, because, like, again, even if somebody's just a really good wrestler, that's fine. But not saying that it's easy, but how you beat a really good wrestler is with really good jiu-jitsu. Like, that's kind of the only way to beat a really good wrestler. So, I don't know. It's just really tough, man, to see that from a guy like Ty who has been around for so long. And it's just, like, the lack of just urgency, I'll say, to learn that aspect of mixed martial arts. Because to me, just looked like a guy that literally spends next to no time in that position.
Yeah, you know, it's and it kind of reminds me of the person that when he came in, we were looking like, oh, this is the next.
Yeah.
And it's Mark Hunt. It's that, you know, if you stand up with him, there's a really high probability you're going to sleep. And we saw that early in the first round.
Sure.
He lands some big shots, lands the elbows. Like you said, he's getting loose. He's throwing the leg kicks. Everything's there until it's not.
Yeah. Yeah, just not. It's a tough break, man. Four in a row there for Ty and
finishes.
Too. Yeah, yeah. It's not looking good for his future, and I don't know really what you do with a guy like that. But again, the story here is good win for Tibera. Gets another win, gets back in the win column here. He was really coy about giving a name for a next opponent. I don't think that's ever going to be in his, you know, realm of calling guys out, but somehow him and Jairzinho Rozenstruik have never been matched up. And I think that would be a fun one.
Mm-hmm.
Both guys ranked right above each other. I think it's like 11 and 12 or 10 and 11. Tibera may move up a little bit this week. I doubt it though. Not much. But I think that would be a fun one for both guys who are coming off good main event performances. Mm-hmm. And would love to see Rozenstruik again, get tested in that department where, he's going to be facing another guy that's going to be looking to take him down. Because as fun as Rozenstruik is, he's talking, he saw his title aspirations and things of that sort in fair play, but we need to see if that part of his game is really rounded out. Yeah,
you're going to have to deal with.
Because remind me the guy that he just faced. Who was it? Gaziev.
Yeah.
You know, Gaziev, Shamil Gaziev, he's just not as experienced, right, as a Tibera who, you know, Shamil just kind of went out on his sword a little bit. But Tibera's a little bit more calculated, has a little bit more, just an overall well-rounded mixed martial arts game.
Man.
And just so experienced. So I think, to me, that fight would make a lot of sense here for the heavyweight division. Mm-hmm. But again, good win for Tibera. And yeah, again, just not a lot to talk about here.
Yeah, Ty might be looking at bare knuckle or something like that.
I don't know what he even
And I didn't see this before we did our preview, but I did see on X that somebody said that somebody who was in the training camp said that he comes in at like 315 and cuts like diets down to 265.
Yeah, and you know, I saw I got on his Instagram and last week after we had made our picks, and I saw he was like at a club and or a con, I don't know, and it's just like, I'm not one of those guys that, like, doesn't think that, like, athletes, like, I hate the idea that, like, if your team loses and then, like, a player that night goes out to the club, like, everybody's like, oh, he's not focused and he doesn't care. And it's like, well, I mean, it's, I don't, I think athletes should be able to have fun.
Right.
But then again, you know, we also know Ty's the party guy, right? So then it's like, you know, how much did you really put into this camp? And I don't know.
Well, man, it's like, just, you know, you're allowed to have fun, but also if you're trying to be at the top level and you have a hole,
not a good look.
You know, and you're going against a guy who can exploit said hole, you kind of need to be, I mean, you probably need to sleep on the mats, you'd think.
Yeah.
You know, for, and then, I mean, the proof was in the pudding for how the win came for Tiberia.
Brian Battle in our co-main event, John. Brian Battle versus Anj Lusa ends in a no contest due to an eye poke landed by Brian Battle in round two. Bit of a scuffle there at the end after the result was read. Both men had to be separated. But same thing, man. Again, for a fight that, I like, what would you even say really about the winner? There's just not much to discuss here. I thought Brian Battle was in total control of this fight. I thought he looked really sharp, was looking good. Not so sure that, you know, he probably wouldn't even have finished this fight, if I'm being honest. But the eye poke is the result. I loved his post-fight. I'll say that. Like, that was probably the biggest takeaway for me from this fight was him saying, like, he had 5 minutes to fight me and didn't want to do anything until it was over, and now he wants to fight. Like, I thought that was hilarious. I don't know what the appetite is here to rebook this thing, like, if the UFC really sees that as
no.
I mean, it's there, but it's like, I think we saw enough. Like, Brian Battle's the better fighter, at least right now. Like, let's keep him moving on
here. Yeah, and you know, it was unfortunate because he was putting on a good performance, and it looks like he was going to push away, and as he pushed away, that thumb hit the eye. But I mean, he's looked really good at welterweight since cutting down from middleweight after being on the Ultimate Fighter. And I do agree, you know, even when they went to the corner, is it Lusa? Is that how you said it?
Lusa
was like breathing real heavy. You could tell he was like, I need this full five.
Yeah.
And I might not even, I mean, I agree a little bit on the looking for a way out because he just couldn't get nothing going and was just kind of getting punished.
Yeah. Couldn't agree. I think Brian Battle's on, he's on an upward trajectory. Again, the only loss right now in the UFC is that loss to Hinat Fakhretdinov, who is in a whole kind of different level anyways. And I believe that fight was at 185, if I recall. Yeah. So
he's undefeated at welterweight.
Yeah. Well, now with the,
you know,
the one no contest. But yeah, so if I'm Brian Battle, I would not want to fight that guy again. Not even just because I don't think, you know, Luce isn't a dangerous guy, which he kind of is, but you got to be looking upwards, right?
Yeah, no.
You need to be looking on here.
Yeah, and, you know, and especially in a division that's seeing a lot of movement toward the top and a lot of people going for things,
right,
you could sneak your way into some pretty good fights, especially with injuries, if you stay active, so.
Yep. Next result, John. Ovince St. Preux defeats Kennedy Njekuwu. Nice little slugfest here, I guess. Mm-hmm. Both guys swinging away at the end, pretty gassed, have to say, but gave it all they had. And I thought OSP did do enough in the end to win this fight. I've seen a lot of people really upset with Njekuwu because he was quite the favorite here. And I think ruined a lot of people's parlays.
I almost hit a good one by taking OSP for the Lonely Hearts.
Yeah. It's a big win for OSP. Man, I did not realize that guy's like 43.
Yeah.
They were saying that. I'm like, holy cow, it does not seem like OSP. But he got in it so late because he was a football guy. So,
and I mean, he's had a lot of fights. I mean, most of it's been in the UFC too. You know, we talk about some of the guys who do that, but I thought a big adjustment that we haven't seen from OSP is just moving out the way, not getting hit. You know, sometimes, you know, Njekuwu was able to land some straight punches, but a lot of times he was missing because OSP was using a lot of head movement. He was also doing a lot of, like, almost checking the takedown, like shouldering the thigh so he could pop back up and land stuff. Yeah. And because of that head movement, unlike how we've seen him as previous fights, is he's not eating something to get to you. He's moving out the way, then his body punch is landing, which he was landing a bunch of those as well. So just really, really impressed for somebody who obviously I'm a big fan of. Glad to see him kind of get back to it. And for Kennedy, man, at one point I thought he was going to be, you know, one of the next guys, and now he just seems to be slipping a little bit. So hopefully he can get back on the road too, because his story is crazy as well.
Next result, John. Christian Rodriguez defeats Isaac Dolgarian. Dolgarian came out just, we're going to talk about it. Came out just killing it with pace and relentless grappling, but ultimately faded. And in true Christian Rodriguez fashion, he kind of rallied back. I did not agree with this decision at all. I thought Dolgarian did enough in rounds one and two to win, but it's Rodriguez who gets the nod and ends another undefeated streak of a young, up-and-coming prospect.
He's played spoiler a lot.
But he's got weight issues, man, and that's what's so questionable here. But I think if you're the UFC, you got to give him a true contender next. doesn't have to necessarily be somebody in the top 15, but someone close. And I think, again, if he misses weight, didn't miss weight here, or no, did he? Did he miss weight in this one? I can't remember.
I thought there was like three people who missed
weight. He might have missed weight here. I can't remember. Doesn't necessarily have to be somebody, though, in the top 15, but just someone close. But with that, sometimes you got to put, you know, when Brandon cancels, you got to put your producer hat on, right? And I was trying to scramble. Like, I want to do something a little bit different. And I came up with this new thing. So we're going to get to it. Let's go to X, John. We're going to get some other fan takes from last night, specifically more on this in our new segment called X Gonna Give It To You. Listen, it's what you
hear it. Listen, it's what you're not on the rights to this song. X Gonna Give It To
You. We'll see if it sticks.
Yeah.
I like a little X gonna give it to you.
Oh,
so,
dude, yeah.
This was just the fight I feel like most fans. So we have at MMA Jesus 420 shared the video of the finish and said, might as well watch WWE now. Dan from Best Fights Pick said, Christian Rodriguez has handed three straight undefeated prospects their first L, which we already discussed. Meku 99 backup underscore backups. So this was another thing. Isaac Dolgarian posted a video and said he basically accusing Christian Rodriguez of greasing. This Meku 99 shared that video and essentially responding to the decision and said, what damage? It looks like he didn't even fight last night. Isaac Dolgarian was robbed. And not only is Christian Rodriguez a weight bully, he is a cheating C-word, too. He was 100% grease. His coach, Duke Rufus, is salty and a cheating C-word as well. And then Phoenix MMA said, upon just kind of a different take, UFC Vegas 88 rewatch, the Rodriguez-Dolgarian fight, Isaac really didn't do any damage in round two at any point. Christian landed a good knee in the more impactful distance shots. So while I personally score it for Dolgarian, in my opinion, we've seen worse decisions. And then you had Gabriel Tucker, who agreed with that and said two things can be true at the same time. Number one, Isaac should have won the fight on glancing knee, One glancing knee isn't sufficient enough to damage to offset 4 minutes of control time. And then number two, Isaac was a horrible money line bet at minus 200. Doesn't cover a questionable split decision. Some, you know, pretty unanimous, I feel like, there, though, in terms of, you know, at least the last one there was somewhat trying to defend as that maybe it wasn't as bad of a decision. I think it's pretty bad to me. I don't know. Again, that's from somebody that has not rewatched it sitting here today. But again, I can't say enough. I thought Dolgarian won it.
Well, I thought Dolgarian got 10-8 in the first round.
And that's
there wasn't a strike landed by Rodriguez. Right. He tried to throw a knee, got caught and took down and was on his, you know, obviously he kept on trying to get back up, but he was fighting that the whole rest of the round.
But the third round was close to a 10-8 for C-Rod too. So,
but I guess in my thinking is if I thought round one was a 10-8, I thought that Dolgarian was able to get up and land some strikes in the third round to keep it from being said 10-8.
Right.
So I had it 10-8, 10-9, and then I said 10-9 for Rodriguez in the third.
Yeah.
So I thought that it was just kind of running away with it.
But
because I just don't feel like that, even the second, like they said, with the knee, like that's great, but it didn't put him out.
Yeah.
You know, like we were just talking about last week with the Blades and Almeida, like if somebody's wrestling and they're not getting the finish, you're going to have to punish them for it. And that's not something Rodriguez was able to do until he kind of gassed in the third. But even then, Dolgarian was able to get back up, land some shots, even get in on some more takedowns attempts of his own, especially there toward the end, kind of stifling a chance for Rodriguez to kind of really steal it.
And the other thing I do want to respond is the weight bully thing, because I do feel like for Christian Rodriguez, we do need to see something here where if you're not going to make the weight, you kind of do need to move up, because you can't be, you know, like, I think he missed in the Cody Saman fight. And the thing about Cody Saman is, he was undefeated as well.
Yeah.
So it's just really tough, man. Like, I'm trying to look here.
It makes you understand why some of these guys won't fight people who miss weight, because, you know, you're putting, I mean, these guys are putting their undefeated records on the line against somebody who's going to come in, you know, with an advantage on that side of things. And especially when you're, you know, grappling heavy like Dolgarian, I felt like he had a really good performance, you know, moving to Factory X, using those leg kicks. He showed a little bit more there. Just really impressed.
Real quick, so he missed against Raul Rosas was the other one, and then missing his next fight against Saman did make weight here. So, but yeah, you know, it is tough though because, like, dude, look at these three people. That's the one thing about I will say about C-Rod, and that's why I said I think you've got to give him somebody more legit out next time. No more undefeated contenders. Like, let's put him in there in a bigger spot, a bigger position, where he kind of has to go out and make the weight and then show it. You know, because he did miss on his contender series. Well, man, he's missed three times if you include the contender series,
and that's a big division to be. To be holding up if you're going to be missing weight.
Right, exactly. And that's what I'm saying. So put him in a bigger spot against a bigger opponent. You know, let's see him be professional, come in, which he was professional here. He made weight.
Yeah.
The decision's not his fault. Not saying that at all. But that's a bigger, it's bigger pressure and a bigger stakes fight. But again, then again, I keep contradicting myself because when you look at these last three opponents, man, there's a chance that these wins age very well for C-Rod because. Say what you want about Raul Rosas. I mean, the kid's so young. Who knows? I still think the ceiling's decently high there. I think the ceiling's really high for Cody Saman.
Mm-hmm.
I still think for Dolgarian, he can make a lot of waves like this. So, I don't know where they go from here with him, but that's three impressive wins, man, regardless.
I thought he was going to get that Peruvian.
It was close.
When you said it, I mean, how many times? Yeah. I don't think I've ever seen somebody sit one in the UFC.
It's got to be really tough with the gloves. That's why I was like, man, that's, you know, I don't know that.
But the level of wrestling that he was putting on, like, not only just getting the takedowns, but his ability to scramble, get to the hips, those type of things, get behind the elbows. Like, those are things that, you know, you see people think about doing, but he was on them immediately.
And that was only his sixth pro fight. So that's the other thing for him is, or his seventh, he was 6-0 coming in. So that was only his seventh professional fight.
Mm-hmm.
So just needs to kind of, you know, again, we talk about it with experience a lot, just kind of needs to get settle in a little bit more. I mean, the pace and stuff was just unreal. I mean, but we have seen guys do that. So just needs to find that balance of, like, what he can act, pushing the pace, but making sure it's realistic over the course of three rounds.
Stick with Factory X, man. Get that striking that they bring on top of the wrestling that he has.
Couldn't agree more. I love the Factory X aspect to Isaac Dolgarian there and his upside. But again, don't want to take away too much from C-Rod because regardless of how you chalk it up, the dude's just won three pretty impressive fights.
Yeah, so. Well, I think it's like you see him, his second fight, he gets a submission, and then we've had these decisions. And they've been in ones where, you know, he's kind of been counted out, so people haven't been necessarily looking for him to be the guy, like, oh, man, this is somebody to watch out for. But now, as you're saying, like, we're seeing him, you know, be in, whether, and, you know, he's kind of made a name of himself of losing early and coming back in later rounds. So just kind of maybe getting into a quicker start and really just putting a stamp on some of these performances. And I think it's going to be really huge for him.
Couple other results here. Macy Chasson. What a performance here against Penny Kianzard or Kianzad,
I think is how they said it.
I don't know. Sorry, guys. But good win there for Macy. I thought that was almost the best Chasson's ever looked.
Yeah.
Man. Just looking slick and really
good
dominant there.
Match.
Gerald Meerschaert defeating, Brian Barberina by second round. Was it?
Rear naked
choke.
Yeah,
man, that thing just looks so tight.
Dude, he tied Anderson for most finishes at middleweight with that.
Yeah.
And now has seven submissions in a row.
Mike Davis, big win against Natan Levy. That's a couple big wins there for Mike Davis. Interested to see what they're going to do with him next.
Yeah.
Looking down, Jafel Fiallo defeating Ode Osborne. Good win there. Thiago Moises, how about that? Late kick finish over Mitch Ramirez. Thiago needing a nice win there. I was so really surprised to see him so low on this card. I mean, he's coming off. I mean, he's the second fight on this fight night, which isn't the most stacked fight night. Dude's coming off of a loss to Benoit Saint-Denis. Like, that gets you the first.
Well,
fight
not only that, like, I mean, we've seen he got matched up against Islam, right?
Yeah.
So he's. I mean, it's not like he's been in.
Yeah.
Joel Alvarez. I mean, he's fought some like big. Some big name people, so
absolutely. So that was it. That was our UFC fight night. Quick recap or update, excuse me, on the scores. Brandon, surprisingly, our big winner last night, as me and John both took Tuivasa, but Brandon scoring 2 points there for Tiberius finish. So the updated scores are me still in the lead with 24, John at 17, and Brandon Now at 7, so 10 away from John there, nipping at the heels, or so they say.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Well, the problem too
maybe
is
maybe like, nipping at like Yao Ming's heels, but that's about it. It's still a pretty long heel to
some of these fight nights they've been giving us is not leaving a lot of room for big jumps. So.
Yeah, well, and then like I said, so this week we're only picking for the main event because I thought we were going to have to get to a video. Yeah. So this is one where maybe we would have picked for the one other fight I want to get you on this card. But, you know, it is what it is. Mm-hmm. We keep it moving. So with that, excuse me, I'm all over the place here today, guys. With that, John, let us get to our main event this Saturday, March 23rd, live from the UFC Apex with the rare 10 p.m. Eastern Apex start time. Have to mention that. I have no idea why that's happening. Like, why dude, is that, this at 10 p.m.?
Dude, that and just the Apex, man.
I'm over it, dude. I mean, it's...
You're literally robbing every one of these small cities that would just die to have a chance, or dude, just other states that would die to have a chance just to have fights there.
Sometimes, again, and, like, I hate to beat a dead horse, but, like, getting back to the whole Conor McGregor, like, them holding the fight hostage from ESPN, like... I almost sometimes wonder if they're just doing this to almost, like, I really question this ESPN relationship, and maybe that's, like, not fair, but, like, sometimes I just feel like they're trolling ESPN. Like, here, all we have to do is give you an event. Like, we don't care if people watch
these
or not.
Well, and they're not even making money. Like, you're not having full crowds. Like, you could go to, you come to like a Ohio or something with this card, people are going to show up because there's nothing.
I just don't see a world to me where a fight night shouldn't include, at least in the main event, both fighters want a matchup where whoever wins realistically is at least two wins away from a title shot. Marcin Tybura could probably win his next three. And maybe be sniffing a number one contender matchup. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, same thing with Ty, and it's just like, that's just kind of my only thing. It's just like, and if not, then just put this on like a Wednesday. Like, you know what I mean?
I mean,
like,
something, man.
Like, well, I mean, give us a better like Dana White contender series. I don't know. But let's get to it, John. We have a women's flyweight main event between number 8, Amanda Ribas, and Thug Rose, who is currently sitting unranked in the flyweight division. And Thug Rose, for the first time in her career, comes into a fight off back-to-back losses, having lost her strawweight title to Carla Esparza back in 2022. And then in her most recent fight, losing her flyweight debut, to top contender Manon Fior in September of last year. And her opponent looking to send Rose into an unprecedented 3-fight losing streak is the always game and always tough Amanda Ribas, who comes in on a bit of a mixed run of form, having gone 2-2 in her last 4. She is, however, coming in off a third round TKO victory over Luana Pinheiro from back in November, and this should be a good one because a win here is essential for either lady's flyweight title hopes to continue. Have to say that. So who do we like? John, no Brandon. I do have Brandon's pick, but John, we will lead with you.
Yeah, man, this is a very interesting matchup for me. Obviously, getting a chance to see Rose doing another flyweight fight after the first one. And you know, one thing I thought was interesting, even like the fight with Manon, that was 3 rounds. So that was her first 3-round fight in a minute. Mm-hmm. Obviously, she's been a part of title fights and big main event fights for a long time, and you're coming down in the weight. So this will be another chance to see. I thought she started real slow in that fight, and you know, it took her a minute to get into it and was able to kind of get pushed around a little bit by Manon, if you ask me. And for Ribas, I think that she starts fast. I mean, she's on the pedal. If you look at that last fight especially, I love her pace. She's constantly kicking, throwing. She does have the judo. So in some of those times where they would clinch up in like the Manon fight, those could very well be trips for Rose, and we've seen Rose struggle with, you know, being controlled a little bit. Yeah. So I think that Ribas is on a really good streak here. I mean obviously she's been back and forth, but coming off of that knockout win, and I think flyweight's just a really good weight for her, and I don't know if I feel that way about Rose yet. I think Rose has a tendency to either show up really big, or sometimes she just seems a shell of herself. And Amanda Ribas comes to fight every time. So for that, I'm taking Amanda Ribas in this fight. I'm going to say by decision because Rose is very tough and hard to deal with. But I think that Amanda Ribas with her, or, you know, her pace, like I said, her striking looked really good that last fight. And even mixing in her ability to do the judo and some of the throws, I think can help her out a lot.
Wow. Very, very interesting. Yeah. So I guess for me, when Rose made her flyweight debut against Manon Fior, I was very bullish that I thought it was a bad matchup for Rose, not even just from a technical standpoint, but mainly just kind of from a physical aspect as well. But here in her second fight in the division, I think this fight against Ribas is actually a great matchup for Rose, and not only stylistically, but also physically. You know, Rose isn't going to be giving up here, you know, as much size as she did in the Fior fight. And going into the Fior fight, I said, I think Rose can compete at this weight, but she was doing it for the first time against the last person, essentially, in my opinion, that she should have been, other than maybe like Valentina. But now on the other side of it, she's gained that experience as well, right? And felt the weight difference. And I think she'll be better for it. I also think stylistically, this is a great matchup for Rose. I think she'll be able to absorb Ribas's forward pressure and really get off some good offense. Ribas gets battered, man, in a lot of her fights and takes a lot of damage. I think she's also one of the more chinnier women, if I you know, being honest, at the top of this division. And I think Rose is really going to be able to take advantage of that. I will say, as you mentioned, Ribas is tricky on the ground, and I think if Rose loses, it kind of will be of her own doing, basically some form of mistake, because again, like you were saying, we've definitely seen Rose not fight a perfect fight and it cost her. So something to look for there, I do agree, especially if it does end up on the ground and maybe Ribas is able to kind of create some scrambler and just essentially out scramble her. But outside of that, I feel Rose holds a lot of advantages here down to the 5-round aspect, as Ribas has never been more than 5 rounds and Rose has done it a handful of times. I could see it going to a decision as well. But I really like a Rose hit finish here where I'll say 4th round KO TKO for Rose Namajunas. I'm going to put a little extra on it, I'll say, and say possibly even a doctor stoppage, because like I said, man, Ribas just seems to take a lot of damage and she wears it pretty bad as well, at least kind of from a visual standpoint. So could definitely see a doctor stoppage here as well, because Ribas is tough. She'll keep coming as long as she can. But I think Rose, this is a fight where Rose can finish, just because like I said, Ribas just takes a lot of damage.
Well, I guess another thing I was looking at with it is, where's Rose's confidence? She had one of the worst title fights of all time against Carla Esparza, doesn't get it done against Manon, and now is running into another. And we know that the mental part is a big part for her. And I just felt like Ribas, although I know you're saying that she could absorb it, but I also could very well see a part where it kind of freezes up Rose and she kind of shuts down because she isn't able to get stuff off early.
Yeah, I mean, I don't disagree with that, man. And I'll be honest with you, and I didn't really throw it in there, but like another thing is, I was kind of thinking about my pick this week for this fight, and I'm just going to be honest, is there's just not a world for me where I see Rose Namajunas losing 3 straight fights. Like, I just...
Time catches everybody, man. She's been in some big fights for a long time.
And that's fair, because, you know, I didn't really see it for Tai Tuivasa this past week either, him going 4 straight losses. But yeah, man, there's just something to me where I just... For a fighter like Rose, you know, if she were to fall to 3 straight, I mean, that would be... Even with the aspect of going up and facing the competition that she has, I think that would be... You know, one of the bigger, I'll say, kind of, so to speak, fall from graces that we've seen in a while, because I still think Rose has championship aspirations and championship qualities, even here at this flyweight division. She's just going to have to find a way to put it together. And like I said, I think coming off that Fiora fight, she'll have a better feel of what this weight class is, especially from a physical standpoint. Because technically, even in that Fiora fight, I'll be honest, I thought she did a little bit better than I even thought she would technically. I mean, she kind of dropped Fiora there in that fight, got some real good offense. I felt like as the fight was going, Rose was kind of growing into it, getting a little better. So hopefully she can come out here a little bit faster start and just kind of look to pepper Ribas. At least that's kind of what I'm predicting. So
yeah, no, I mean, it'd be obviously huge for both, for Ribas to get a name like Rose on her resume after, you know, she's only lost to kind of like the contender types, like Caitlin, like Macy Barber in the last two. And I think Marina Rodriguez is her only other one of recent. So it'll be definitely a big name for her and for Rose, you know, a chance to, one, put a ranking on her, you know, on her now in this division, but then just to kind of stamp that first win.
Yeah, and one more. So Brandon took, I just remembered, I said four. I did have 4th round in my notes for the record. Brandon also took it. He's not here, and he's sick.
Do you feel bad? Do you make him just take it?
I do feel it because he did tell me his symptoms and he is going through it. Yeah. So here's what I'll do.
He was willing to come.
I just remembered. Yeah, I just remembered he did say fourth round KO, TKO, four rows. That is Brandon's pick. Do I want to move up or down a round? Because I want to stick with the KO, TKO finish. Boy. You know what? I'll take Rose by unanimous decision because I could see a decision. I feel like that's like my number two, you know, here a bit. It's like, if not a finish. I'll take Rose by decision victory. John, a couple other ones. Again, like, I don't want to go too far. Carl Williams and Justin Taffa in the co-main. Okay.
Anytime a Taffa fights, it's interesting.
What's his brother's name? Justin and...
Oh, gosh. It's something with a J as well, right?
I know. Gosh, dude. He was supposed to fight Carl Williams, and then Justin got hurt.
Right.
And then the other brother stepped in, and I think this is the other brother now stepping in. Something like that. What is his name, dude? Come on. That's ridiculous. Then you have Edmund Shahbazyan taking on AJ Dobson. But the other fight that I really, really want to circle, highlight, put an exclamation mark on, if there's like one fight, even more so than the main event, that you do not want to miss on this card, to me, it's Peyton Talbot versus Cody Sayman. This is a fantastic matchup. So excited. Like, honestly, I may only watch two fights on there. Like, it may just be, no, I won't do that. No, I'll never do that. But Peyton Talbot, man, just a killer. I think he's, I believe he's still undefeated. Mm-hmm. Only like 20, early 20s, like 20 years old or something like that. I can't remember. Super young. And then obviously Cody Sayman is a guy who, even though losing to Christian Rodriguez, how much of that weight miss, the weight affect Cody Sayman in that performance, because Rodriguez was so much heavier. I don't know, but 4-1 in the UFC, and if he beats Peyton Talbot, and then if Peyton Talbot beats Sayman, I mean, dude, big win here for either one of these young prospects.
Mm-hmm.
Billy Q taking on Yusef Zalal.
I thought Billy Q had a different opponent before. I can't remember who it was, though, off the top of my head.
Yeah.
Junior Taffa is the name, by
Junior
the way.
Taffa, yeah. Kurt Holleball taking on Trey Ogden. Looking down.
Julia Juicy J Rosa under that one.
Oh, big Mo Usman kicking it off. Yeah. Kamara's brother there. So
Cody Gibson.
Yeah. Like I said, man, just another bummer. I mean, good fights are on the way, though. We got this fight, and then next after that, Blanchfield and Fior that next week, and then Brendan Allen, which we'll get to that in the news, I'm sure, and then it's UFC 300. So, creeping up on it, again, I know this wasn't, you know, maybe the funnest picks and recaps.
Yeah, March is rough, but April, we have fight night, pay-per-view, and then we get into, you know, the summer, so.
Yeah, just hang in there with us, man. It gets better. John, let's get to the news.
Going on the news. If you don't like it, Brendan, I'll punch you and give you a bruise.
The news.
So we now know the main event for UFC 301 in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, and it will be headlined by flyweight champion Alejandro Pantoja versus Steve Ursay.
Yeah.
Obviously, with Brandon Royval defeating Brandon Moreno, Royval would have been the next up, but his injury has left it open for somebody to step in. We talked about 301 lacking a big Brazilian name to headline it outside of Pantoja, so it only makes sense that he would headline it, and we just didn't know who it would be against. Ursay did win his most recent fight with a huge KO over Matt Schnell, seemingly pushing him up as the best available option in the eyes of the UFC.
Very interesting choice here. You know, I know I thought Mohamed Mokaev was a no-brainer. I still haven't heard anything on why it wasn't Mokaev.
Mokaev is asking the same question, not like he said no.
I'm like complete. I mean, here's the thing. If you're the UFC, you can't look at that last Mokaev performance and like base his whole title shot off that. Now, Steve Ursay is a fun, exciting fighter, but just doesn't have the experience here, man, to go in my opinion, at least at this level, and face a guy that has just beat the last how many, you know, some of the greatest
flyweights. He has a win against every champion in the division.
I mean, and we're throwing Steve Ursay, number 14 ranked, which I told you guys in truth, like, I'd love to know the truth on this. Is Steve Ursay the lowest ranked fighter to ever get a debut or first time title shot? Because I know we've had maybe a Conor who was unranked because he was out so long, come back and get a title shot, or like John Jones coming back, you know, like, so I don't want to say the lowest ranked ever, but in terms of somebody getting their first or debut title shot since the rankings have been around, is Steve Versag at number 14 the lowest ranked guy? I don't know. I'd have to, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, if there was somebody, it would be at these lower weights, because when they were newer, it was probably harder to get people. But
I mean, for the first time, and again, like, hey, if you're Steve Versag, I mean, shout out to you, man. Good job here. I mean, I don't want to. Steve Versag is fun. I
mean, and talk about taking advantage of your situation to put on. I mean, when it came down to, like, we need somebody or Val's not going to be able to go, somebody put an exclamation point out here. He did it and got rewarded for it. So we can't be mad at it. But like you said, with the streak that Mikhaev has been on.
It's weird. I don't get
it. Well, and I blame the UFC for it. You know, they top loaded 299, 300 so much. Then you decide to do 301 in Brazil and you book all your big Brazilian fighters except for Pantoja. So you put yourself in this spot where you kind of have to, you know, make something shake, and that's what they went with.
Agree.
The UFC 301 rumor card has been leaked earlier this week and beyond the main event. It features some really good names and big fights, but seemed to lack like a big, like, co-main event type of fight. Saturday night, we were provided
I know where you're going with this.
And what I'm guessing will be the co-main event. Jonathan Martinez will be welcoming back out of retirement the king of Rio himself, Jose Aldo. This kind of feels like they really needed another big fight to sell this, as far as like having a co-main, because like I said, all their other fighters are booked. So they probably just threw a bag at Jose and said, hey, we should come to the crib.
Let's go ahead and play it for John. We'll preemptively.
100%.
I'll say this, man. If you're Jose, okay. So my thing, first off, reaction to Jose coming back, like, not crazy about it, man, because, like, again, like I told you last night, we had that visual, that moment of him at the Hall of Fame, like, crying, emotional, which I know it's kind of become a funny meme now for, you know, a lot of different things, but, like, that was such a good moment. Yeah. Like, what's the motivation to come back here? You know, I don't know, because, like, to see that emotion, it was like a guy almost accepting that, like, he's closed that chapter, and to be able to reflect on everything, it was like such a good moment. So for him to come back, it's just like, why, man? Why? Yeah. Like, I hate that. But on, at least from where Jose was when he ended his career, I don't hate the matchup for him. Like, no. I think at least on paper, sitting here today, again, got a little bit of time to officially make a pick, but I don't hate this matchup for Jose Aldo. Like, it's not a bad one.
Well, and it's not like he's been inactive. He's been constant. Right. He's been boxing. He's still been doing something.
Yeah.
And I even felt like his last fight before he retired, he still looked good. He just didn't have that push to, you know, to get the decision win for himself. And so it will be interesting to see that. And like I said, I think this was a, if you're going to have one name in Rio and you have to pull a name out the hat, it's the king of Rio and Jose. Yeah. And then, like I said, they're probably offering him a very big bag to do this.
They probably threw because, some money.
I mean, the rest of the fights on there, you have Michelle Pajeda and Mahmoud Murandov. I don't know how to say his name. Paul Craig and Kyle Bahio, Anthony Smith and Vitor Petrino, and Joaquin Silva and Jakar Close. So it's like, if you're going to do a pay-per-view, you at least have to have one more name on that, because those are good matchups.
Still a fight night, in my opinion.
Right. I mean, because if you take the main event off of it, that is a fight night. So they definitely had some work to do. Obviously, it's a love-hate thing for me, because I love to see Jose fight. I'd hate for him to look like, oh, you should have stayed retired. Yeah. That's my worst fear in this. Obviously, still going to pick him 100%. Going to bet all my money I have on him.
Yeah, well, it's like you said. I mean, we as you know, Anderson Silva fans, like, we kind of already had to go through it with him, and it's just like, it never works out well. Yeah. Like,
well, and even for Aldo, like, for my last time seeing him until obviously this happens, being like, a man, you still had it, it just didn't have enough. Like, for the Anderson, we just seen him just like, oh, you're just too old to be in there with these guys. Yeah. And he kind of got out. Jose was able to get out and not have to go out like a Frankie Edgar or somebody. And Jonathan Martinez is a dangerous opponent.
Yeah.
But Jose Aldo, like I said, being the having the doing the boxing, it's not like he's coming off the couch, and being able to do it in Rio, it could be a big moment for him. Mm-hmm. Like we had mentioned a little bit earlier with some of the fights coming up, Marvin Vettori is out of his main event fight against Brendan Allen via injury.
I hate that.
Stepping in will be the always game Chris Curtis to do the rematch with Brendan Allen. I'd said in our chat when I sent this, like, you know, this sucks for, obviously, for Vettori, who needs to keep his name up there, but for Brendan Allen, who's just really wanting to have an exclamation point to get to a title shot.
Yeah.
I mean, this almost feels like a lose-lose unless the UFC said, hey, you handle this, we'll give you...
I think they will. I mean, Brendan Allen's been, you know, he's definitely been taking like
six
up.
Six or seven in a row.
He's been trending in the right direction. This isn't his fault. And if anything else, he's stepping in and essentially saving an event because he, you know, could have said no, but instead is choosing to fight, as you just said, it's like Chris Curtis is a dangerous guy, man. He's capable of literally knocking out
anybody. He hurt him in their first fight. Like, yes. That was a good fight.
Yes. So this is a crazy, or it's a tough fight, for him to take. It's a risky fight for him to take on short notice as well. Yeah, man, it just sucks more because to get finally like this big opponent for a guy like Brendan, who, you know, you beat Marvin Vettori, it would be extremely hard to deny Brendan Allen a title shot. It just kind of sucks. And I don't know that, you know, a win over Chris Curtis will get him that. We'll see. I mean, yeah. Geez, Steve Ursag at number 14 is fighting Alexandre Pantoja for the title. So anything is possible. Timelines, I think because they front-loaded this year so much with so many big fights. Timelines are everything right now, and I think a lot of people are benefiting from that in the UFC, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's just, unfortunately, it's just leading to, you know, maybe our not most desired matchups. But the tough thing for Allen, though, sneaking in is, like, I think at this point, there's no way the UFC is not going to do DDP versus Izzy next for the title. So it would take one of those guys not wanting to fight or getting hurt, you know, for Brendan Allen to step in. But still need to go out there and win, though, if you're Brendan Allen, definitely.
And not only top loading the year, but a lot of these guys are coming out hurt. Yeah. And it's been difficult. I also think it's interesting that, you know, this was going to be a situation anyways with how Extreme Couture has had so many middleweights go through there. But I believe, obviously, Vittori's trained there. I thought Brendan Allen has trained there before, too.
No, he trains at... He trains in Florida with...
I didn't know if he'd cross-trained there, because I thought amongst some of those...
I mean, he may have dropped in there, but he trains with... Michael Chandler... Gilbert Burns.
Oh, Hoof?
Yeah, but what's that?
Killcliff.
Thank you. Woo. I knew he'd get there.
Tim Elliott is taking on undefeated Tatsuro Taira in May.
Love
that fight. Huge fight for Taira to stay undefeated. I think he's 15 or 17-0. Big fight for him, for Elliott.
Yeah.
I didn't put this in, but kind of just going off of what you're saying about Brendan Allen, I don't know if you've seen Strickland, for some reason, now is deciding to call for wanting the rematch against DDP after not really saying anything, saying that Izzy doesn't deserve, or Izzy, he said Izzy didn't deserve the immediate rematch to Pajeda if he doesn't deserve the immediate rematch with DDP, which caused him to kind of get filleted because that was your first fight, whereas Izzy had held the 7 title defenses, whatever, there. Also in May, Bellator is returning to Paris for their championship series, where Usman Nurmagomedov will defend his lightweight title against Alexander Shibley, and Patchy Mix will defend his bantamweight title against Magomedov.
It'd be a big one.
So, big one for, I'm kind of liking what Bellator is. You know, we were kind of unsure what that was going to look like, but putting together these kind of smaller cards, just title fights or contenders, makes it exciting.
Yeah.
Some crazy news from UFC 299 and Tim Simpson, Jack Della Maddalena's manager, posting an x-ray showing that JDM broke his arm against Gilbert Burns. He said it happened early in the fight, obviously making that finish and just getting through the fight crazy, considering Gilbert, obviously, the fight before had a similar situation. Right.
Wasn't able to
gut it out. But the only thing that does suck for him is it doesn't seem like him getting ready for that Sydney fight might not be as on the table, depending on how fast that arm heals up. In this week's edition of Not Saying We Know Stuff, But We Definitely Said This, Conor McGregor was recently asked about his return while on tour promoting his new movie, saying, "I'm wrapping up this tour. I'm going to go back and regroup. I'm going to test myself physically and get myself back right." Also saying that he had multiple camps and hoping to fight in December last year and even January this year, but then it keeps getting pushed back and then I lose interest and stop training for a while. And finally saying that I'm eager for my return. There's still a good chunk of the year left, and I've got 2 fights left on my contract. Negotiations are ongoing. I mean, we said it. You know, he's wanting to fight, and you're sitting him out. Mm-hmm. Eventually, he's going to stop wanting to wait.
Yeah, man. I mean, the tinfoil hat stays on until I'm proven differently. I don't see... to me, it just is the weirdest thing, you know, and he continues to, and then they try to almost essentially kind of backhandedly blame him. And then, you know, he kind of defends himself and says he's ready to go. And I don't know, man, I give up on it until they give us a date. It's hard telling, because now he's already pushed it into next year, which is pretty much what Dana said too.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was early this year, then it was summer, then it was end of the year. And now we're already into 2025 for a return of Conor McGregor, who is seemingly healthy, ready to go.
Wants to fight, been doing camps. Yeah. Chandler will fight him on a day's notice at this point.
Yeah.
He's not budging off of that. So, and like I said, it'd be interesting. Hopefully they don't lose. I guess they don't care, because his name will keep kind of recirculating, but right. It's a dangerous game they're playing there.
Yeah.
And then I also didn't know about the two fights left on his contract thing. That's a new kind of detail added in that maybe they're trying to hold him out, adding into the ESPN.
Yeah, it would just further add into the thing that they're trying to use that for, you know, whoever is going to take on the streaming rights, right. You know, essentially.
Relating to Conor McGregor, Nate Diaz and Jorge Masvidal are running it back in a rematch in June, but they're boxing.
Yeah.
Based off the Diaz-Paul boxing match, I don't have a big appetite for this at all. If you would have done this like bare-knuckle MMA all day, sign me up. I will definitely watch, but this is going to be tough. And then...
And it's a heavyweight, like, come on, man.
Yeah, it's rough. Last thing, UFC Hall of Famer Mark Coleman was hospitalized Tuesday for smoke inhalation after pulling his mother and father from a house fire. He's since made somewhat of a recovery and was seen in the hospital hugging his family. Additional details came out to what seemed to happen was Coleman's dog alerted him in bed that something was wrong. He got up and pulled his parents out. Coleman goes back into the house to try to get to his dog, but collapsed due to the smoke inhalation. They were able to pull out Coleman. Unfortunately, weren't able to pull out his dog, but crazy story.
Yeah, man. Yeah, that is pretty insane. Glad he's doing good, though. It seems like he's okay. I was kind of been trying to follow it on social media. But yeah, man, that's crazy about his dog. Because you think if the dog didn't wake him up, I mean,
they're all done. Yeah.
Could have been too late for all of them. Yeah. Yeah.
And for him to double back in, man, that just sucks for him. But I'm glad he's okay.
So. Yeah. Love it. So is that it?
Yep.
Alrighty. What do you got for Song of the Week?
Song of the Week, I'm going Alex Jean Made for This.
Okay. What about One for the People?
My one for the people is I think I discovered one of my new adult favorite desserts. Went to dinner Friday night and the options were like a triple layer chocolate cake and an apple crumble. I elected apple crumble. It was really, really good. I always liked like apple pie and stuff, but apple crumble might have snuck its way into my John in his 30s dessert list.
I mean, I don't know.
Little vanilla ice cream on top.
Yeah, I was going to say, hot apple crumble with like ice cream. Who doesn't like that?
It's just never been like in my, I definitely want that, but now it's definitely made its way.
Man. Yeah. Usually anything apple crisp, like crumble, something like that, especially if it's hot and you get the ice cream involved, like sign
And it
up.
Might make its way into my reception dessert list instead of peach cobbler. I don't know. We'll see.
I would 100%, like, usually if it's, like, a chocolate anything, I would 100% take something apple.
Or, like, in that
style, obviously. Well, unfortunately, we're going to get Brandon's Straight Outta Compton review. Yeah, I do know he watched it, but we'll have to come back next week for that. So
he did say there better not be a lot of gangster rap here.
I think he said he wanted it. Better be a lot.
Hopefully, because if not.
So come back next week. We will recap Thug Rose versus Amanda Hibas and get you ready for a bigger Eve. He threw me off.
You always got to stop.
I know. And then get you set up for an even bigger women's flyweight fight with Erin Blanchfield versus who?
Known Fjord.
I can't wait.
Let's get it.
Also, look out for the video this week.
Yeah.
It'll be there. So, game video.
Instagram story. We'll have it posted in there for you.
Yep. Until then, we'll see you guys. Peace.
Bye. Peace. Bye. 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 Peace. Bye. Bye. Bye.